going to minister to you a word that I have in my spirit and I know from the Lord. And I believe you're going, as a believer, to bear witness with this word. I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit to get a hold of us in this hour that we live in. I want to tell you that we were in a camp meeting in Falling Waters, Arkansas, which is on the top of a mountain. And they have been having this camp meeting for 40 years, every year, 40 years. I say this to the glory of God. I say this to encourage you for your prayers, your intercessions, your giving, your sending. Guys, I mean this in humility, but God has used us to totally change the fabric of the churches in Arkansas. We're a small group of people, but we have a great big God. And I say to you, church, everything that we've been through, every fight that we have fought, every battle that we have been engaged in, every conflict that we have known, we have only gained from the battle. We've lost nothing. But we have come through, we have stolen from the enemy, or we have reclaimed from the enemy what is ours. And y'all, God is doing tremendous things. And so, just a great, praise God, it's just a great move of the Lord. You would be so proud of Anthem. This was a really radical step. These are bluegrass, country western, you know, up in the hills of Arkansas, people. And I don't know, how often they've experienced like worship service. They do singing, you know, and they'll have singing and songs and one person would come up after the other. But there's a move of God going on in those mountains. And I'll tell you, they invited Anthem to come. David Owens was so excited. He was about to explode. And he just said, Anthem, come and be Anthem. That's what they want. You know, and so God anointed Anthem. They came into those meetings and they began to worship. And the people were drawn into the presence of God. And it was so mighty. And I just want to say how proud I am of my daughter. I've never seen anything like that in my life, but God moved on her. She saw something in the Lord and in the glory of God. And it was just, I know she's going to kill me for saying this, but she says, I never talk about her. I always talk about my sons because they don't even know you have a daughter. And so this is my daughter, Jordan. And, oh my gosh. She preached, I'm telling you, she preached, she got up in everybody's grill. I'm telling you what. I won't say what they say in Arkansas, we might not understand it, but she preached and it opened the door. And I'm telling you, Jared Jenkins walked right through it and God led that service into one of the most dynamic places. We stood in that altar for 2.5 hours while people were being called to missions. I'm so proud of Levi. He came and stood up there, surrendering himself, the call of missions in his life. I'm so proud of you. Praise God. Y'all, we have the greatest young people I've ever known in this church. The greatest I've ever known. All these young people in our church. And Henry just surrendering to preach, you know. He's got a call in his life to be a pastor. And oh, it was a beautiful, beautiful time. They had bears in the dumpsters, and it was just an amazing event. It was awesome. And so I just want to thank y'all. Christy and some people are traveling up to Arkansas today after the service. We're going to pray for them this morning. And then I'll be flying back to Arkansas tomorrow. We're in a different venue, a different location where they asked us to please come and minister. I just can't describe to you what God is using us to do. And I was so grateful. Brianna really encouraged me, but they saw. They're just, Brianna, is it not true? There are things you experience. You cannot put it into words when you come back. It's just so amazing to see the glory of God the way that we do. And I just thank the Lord for it. All these guys, I just thank God for you. I thank God for you, church. I'm complimenting you, your prayer life, your intercessions, your giving, your sending. And I just thank the Lord for it. Our nation needs Jesus more than, well, it's always needed him. There's never been a time they needed him more, but more than ever, they need him now. And I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to just, This may be scattered a little bit, all right? Because God is just speaking to me, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit will get this through me. Would you just pray for me? Please ask the Lord to not let anything come out of my mouth that is not His Word. And don't let me say anything if I'm not in the right spirit. Would you pray that, please? I desire that with all of my heart. God would just hold me back. I don't want it to be anything of me. I don't want it to be anything of my attitude or my nature or myself. I want it to be the Spirit of God, Lord. I'm confessing that to You. And I'm confessing to You, God, that I desire for it to be Your Word. And Father, that You would give us great apprehension in our spirit of the things that You're saying to us, God. And please, dear God, let the church be in agreement with the Holy Ghost. Please let us be in agreement with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to read about three scriptures right now. We're starting in Ephesians chapter 2. And the Bible says in verse 1, it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." I'm going to try not to preach. I want to just try to talk to you about this today, because it's so important that you get this. It says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." In 1 John chapter 4, you can write it down, put it in the margin of your Bible. But in 1 John chapter 4, it says that that spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is at work right now in the world. It was at work in John's day, so it's at work even more now. And I just wouldn't be surprised if the Antichrist were alive in the earth right now. And we might have even seen him on TV, you know, and something. He probably doesn't know who he is yet, or that devil comes into him later in the tribulation. But the Bible says, and I want you to see this, there are three things that are at work in our world right now. Please get this. Three things at work in our world. There's the course of this world. There is the prince of the power of the air. And there's a spirit that is now working. And that spirit works in the children of disobedience. That word for disobedience is unbelief. Unbelief. So there is a spirit that is working in the children, the people. That doesn't mean young people. It just means anybody. Children of Adam. People of unbelief. Men and women. Boys and girls. There's a spirit at work. Please know this. You've got to understand. If you don't, you're going to beat the air. You're going to fight things, and it's going to be non-effective because you're fighting the wrong thing. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And these powers, these principalities, they are very, very organized. There is a system that is at work. It is extremely strategic. And this spirit that works in the world right now is under the headship of the prince of the air. And the prince of the air is Lucifer. That is Satan, the devil, whatever you may want to term that. He is the general. He is the top one of this kingdom of darkness. And there is a course that has been dug out through this world, and the world is moving in it. Now, the best way that I can describe this to you is the course. It means a gully, if you will, a riverbed. I want to say it like a riverbed. It's a riverbed. It is not just a hole that's in the world, but it's a gully. It's a riverbed that runs through the earth, and there's a mighty spirit that is running through it. And that spirit is the spirit that works in the children of unbelief. And so the whole world is swept away in this direction. Please know this. What is going on in our world today, what you are watching on your TVs, it is what they want you to see. But what is really going on in the world today is first and foremost spiritual. And there is a prince that is in the air who is Lucifer, masterminding all of this. There is a river, if you will, that is running. We call it the course of the world. And all of the children of unbelief are in it, being manipulated by that spirit. There is a reasoning right now. The Bible warned us of it because it says that this spirit is going to increase and become worse and worse. And the love of many is going to grow cold. And so we are seeing this in our day to such a degree that the prophet said there's going to come a time when they will call right wrong and wrong right. My friends, we have been living in that day. I'm not saying we're living in it. We have been in it. It's only worse now. It is ingrained now. The ones that are calling right wrong and wrong right are our professors. They're remaking history. Things are going on in our world. But it's not them. It's not humans. It's not the plotting of man. It is the prince of the air. It is the course of the world that he has created and the spirit that is working in the children of unbelief. You've got to understand that. There is a spirit that is working in the world and it wants you. It wants you. It wants to take you. It wants to put you into the course of the world and just go along with it. Just go along. All you got to do is get in it. You can disagree with it. You can say, I don't believe in it. You can say, I'm just going to accommodate it, but it's really not something that I believe in. That's all it wants, because the moment you get in it, you're swept by it. It's a spirit. It is a powerful spirit. It's like a river. I mean, and I'm talking about if you go down to the Mississippi River and you're going to swim across it and say, I want to, from here, and I'm going to swim straight across. No, you're not. That river is going to take you down its stream and you're not going to end up where you thought you were going to go. And that is the same thing with the spirit of this world, and it is battling for you. It is battling for your mind, and it is the spirit of Antichrist. It is everything that is against God. And what does the spirit of Antichrist want to do? The spirit of Antichrist wants to create a revolution against God and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The spirit of Antichrist wants to destroy the Jewish nation. The spirit of Antichrist wants to bring onto the scene a man who is possessed with the powers of evil that might be proclaimed as the true Messiah to the world, but he's false and he's demonic and the whole world is going to embrace him. That's what the spirit, the course of the world, everything's going to that. Everything's going to the mark of the beast. Everything's going to the worship of a man who declares himself to be the Messiah of the world and God, and the whole world is going to worship him. Everything is going to that. The course is set. And all it wants to do is it wants to get you and as many people as it can into that river, because the river, the spirit of unbelief will take it. And this is the fight. This is the battle. This is the conflict that we're in. So I want you to remember that. Three things at work. The course of the world, the prince of the air, and the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience or unbelief. Now I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to read something here in verse 7. And I want you to see this about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Now this is not an inclusive list of all of the gifts of the Spirit. These are just the ones that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to put to the Corinthians. There are many more. And he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. That's also the word demonstration of the Spirit. So there's a Spirit that is now working in the children of unbelief. But to those of us who have taken this for granted, most of our entire Christianity, and even today, multitudes of believers sitting in churches that still don't get it. There is a Spirit of God that has been given to us, and that Holy Spirit is the only Spirit that can stop the Spirit that is working in the children of disobedience. The Spirit of Christ is the only Spirit that can stop the spirit of Antichrist. And he has been given to us as a believer. He's been given to young people. I just think if I was a young person right now in my late teenage years, I'm telling you what, I don't know. I would be so serious with God right now. I'm watching a world that is falling apart before me. I'm watching a world that is caving in. I'm watching a world, they don't want you to know how bad it is. I'm watching a world right now where the focus seems to be on the United States of America, and it's distracting us, and the whole time our eyes are on the United States of America, right now Europe is gaining in strength and power and wealth. And we're not even aware of it, and I'm telling you, that is going to be the empire of the Antichrist. And right now, while we sit here worrying about our politics and what is going on in our streets, the real agenda of the course of the world is strengthening Europe right now. They're going back to work. They're going back to school. They're prospering. They've taken the mask off. They're back out there. They're doing all of these things. The Spirit knows what it's doing. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 again, the ministration of the Spirit is given to every man. Not pastors alone, not missionaries alone, not teachers alone, not prophets alone. It's given to every man. So if you're born again, and I don't know if all of you are, but if you're born again, the Spirit of God has come to you and He's given you gifts. The one thing that I am very aware of is the children of disobedience, the children of unbelief are not shy at standing up for their agenda. They're not embarrassed. They are not cowardly to stand up and to go public with what has captivated them. And would to God, the Spirit of God would captivate the young people of Jesus Christ and the old people of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit is given to every man. For what? To profit. To profit everybody. It's right there. He's given the Spirit to you to profit everybody. So is your life being lived in the Spirit of God so that the profit is going to everybody? Not just the church. Everybody. The people at your work, the people at your school, the people in your nation, the people in your city. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not simply given to function within the four walls of a church. They are given to empower you to cause the lame to walk, the dead to rise up from their dead, the blind to see, to bring people to Jesus Christ, and to withstand the powers of hell in our world today. That's why the gifts are given to us. The Spirit is the gift. He is the gift. And He's come to every one of us to profit everyone. Now listen, He says this. This is so important. I want you to hear this. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Think about it. The word of wisdom. Think about it. To another, the word of knowledge. Just think about this. It's going to be very relevant in a moment. The word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. It's working through every one of us. To another, the gifts of healing. It's all the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So do you see that as a believer, the Holy Spirit has come into your life and He has gifted you with things that are to profit everybody, and it is to withstand the course of this world and the spirit of this age. Felix did a magnificent job preaching and ministering the will of God to our church last Sunday. He said things last Sunday that totally inspired me. Enlighten me onto things, and I probably get these things wrong, but I think it's somewhere around this that 1% of evangelical Christians 1% have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody once in the last 4 to 6 weeks. I think it's something like that. And so 1% of evangelical Christianity in the United States of America, let's just say it's 100,000 people. And in the last 6 weeks, out of 350 million people in our country, in the last 6 weeks, out of the 350 million people, only 100,000 people have had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we wonder what's going on in our streets. It's not a Democrat problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's not a racial problem. It is a problem that the gospel and the salvation of humanity is not getting to men. It's not getting to them. That's what's wrong with our streets. The gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and we're allowing the spirit of this world to do something uncontested. And I say to us as the body of Christ, it is time to contest it. Amen. Time to contest it. And I'm going to tell you where your problem's going to come from. I'm going to tell you who's going to turn you in. I was talking with some pastors yesterday in California. There's an ordinance that's been signed by their governor that now you cannot go to church and sing, even if you have masks. You cannot go and sing. And one of the pastors said to me, well, we're going to do it anyway, Pastor. Who's going to police that? And I said, Judas is. And he just said, I think, what are you saying? I think I know what you're saying. I'm saying this, that people you used to worship with and confide in and fellowship with are going to turn you in. It's always happened. This is the history of religion. That brothers and sisters turn brothers and sisters in thinking they're doing the will of God. It is the spirit of the age. And we have to be willing to live by the bold spirit of the Holy Ghost, to do what God wants us to do in this world. Listen, if we're afraid to lose our life, we cannot combat this spirit today. If we're afraid to lose our life, when, for God's sake, did heaven become so unattractive to us? The Apostle Paul couldn't wait to go home. For me to die is gain. To stay here with you, it's profitable. But I want to go home. When did heaven become so unattractive to us? As a matter of fact, Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame him, speaking of the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb, their testimony, and they were willing to die for it. Willing to die for it. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it, Jesus said. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it, Jesus said. And I want to live for Jesus Christ in this hour. Look, I can feel the pressure. I can feel the pressure of conformity. I believe that the church all over the Western Hemisphere, as far as I've seen it, I believe the church has been pushed to the banks of the course of this world. And you can feel the pressure. Just jump in. It's easy here. Oh, yeah, it's easy there. But it's death there. I don't want to jump into that. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. As your pastor, I am doing everything in my personal ability and desperation and faith to seek God in His Word constantly. I am trying to hear the voice of God. I'm trying to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. I'm not a one-man show. We have staff. We meet. We pray. We talk. We talk to leadership in this church. What do you think? What is God saying to you? We talk to a multitude of other pastors and other churches and say, let's have a broader council. This is what I feel like God is saying. Am I off target in this? Am I missing God? No, brother. It bears witness with my spirit. I've talked to others too. It's bearing witness with their spirit. We're not walking out as a one-man show. Oh, we're going to defy everything. We're trying to hear God. We're trying to know what's going on in this world rather than Fox News or CNN or something else trying to tell me what it is, or some scientist trying to tell me what it is. I want God the Holy Ghost to speak to me. I'm desperate for that, y'all. I'm desperate for that. I'm going to stand before God one day and I'm going to answer to God for how I led you. There is a fearful thing standing in this pulpit, knowing that I am accountable to God for your life. And I don't believe for one moment that it will go bad for me. If I encourage you and strengthen you to walk in the Word and walk in the Spirit and live by faith. I give you the freedom and the liberty to walk in the faith that you have. I don't want you to walk in my faith. That's no good. It's only good for me. You have to walk in your faith and what God is telling you to do. So there are these gifts. And these gifts are wonderful. Just very quickly, I'll highlight them again. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Hebrews chapter 10, the last scripture we're going to read. Hebrews chapter 10. I don't think I'm finishing now. It's just the last scripture. And in Hebrews chapter, I don't want you to be disappointed. And now you are. But anyway, we'll get through it. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 19, because of the new covenant, because of God's grace and the blood of Jesus who has removed our sins, and we have access to God now as children, says, now, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I want you to listen to this. I believe this is a word of the Holy Ghost. We can come into the holiest presence by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And here's the focus, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching, the day of the Lord, the end of the world, the coming of Christ. If you see that day approaching, what does the Bible say? Get together more, church, not less. Right? I'm not making that up. I have had a burden in my heart. I've been praying and seeking the Lord over the last couple of weeks, and I've had a burden in my heart. We have prayer meetings and everything, and I don't know how this will go. Maybe you can give me some feedback about this. But I would just love, in our fellowship hall next door, I would love to meet once a week, Saturday morning, a weeknight. It really doesn't matter. Let's just get together, whoever wants to, and let's talk. Let me hear what you're thinking. Let me hear what you're going through. Let me hear your questions. Let's all hear them. Let's all talk to each other. And let's pray as we talk. And let's edify and encourage one another and strengthen one another. Because I think there's some things you really have to say. I think there's some wisdom you have to give. And I think it's extremely valuable. I'm desiring that. However God would bring it together, even if He will bring it together, I want to do that. But the Bible says, listen, if you really believe, do you really believe Jesus is coming soon? Do you believe we're at the end of the age? And the Bible says right here, listen, don't stop meeting, meet more. For what purpose? To exhort one another, to encourage one another. Now listen to what this word is. To bring exhortation is to bring courage into your life. It's to bring courage into your faith. This is the supernatural imparting of the things of the Spirit from my life into your life. It's not a little pep rally where we sit around for a little while and say everything's going to be okay. But the Holy Ghost literally imparts something from me to you and you to me, and I am strengthened and I am encouraged to go on in the Lord, and I need you tomorrow night too. And the closer we get to this coming, I need you more and more and more. And what does the course of this world want us to do? And what does the spirit of this age want us to do? And what does the prince of the air want us to do? Not meet, not feel comfortable, not feel safe, not gather together with the body of Christ as the Lord tells us to do it. Okay, church in California, you're going to get together. That's fine. But you're not going to sing. You're not going to praise. You're not going to worship. Oh, by God, I am. I'm telling you, the line's drawn right there. First New Testament church. It's drawn right there. We're going to sing because He says to. We're going to praise because He says to. We're going to worship because He says to. And I'm thinking, God, how do the black churches even function in California? They sing the whole sermon. And so, you know, you think about these things that are going on. So please, can you just, from the scriptures we've just read, there are three things working in the world. The course of the world, the prince of the air, and the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. God has given to His church, to every one of us, His Holy Spirit, and we are gifted by God to profit everybody. And then we're told we're not to forsake our assembling together. We're to get together more and more and more as we see that day approaching so that we can exhort one another, impart to one another the things of the Spirit of God so that our faith is strengthened and our confidence is strengthened, our walk is strengthened, and we're not wavering and we're staying out of the world's river. And we're walking in God's. And it takes us all. It takes all of us to do that. So let me tell you this. You have to understand the fight. You have to understand it. Hopefully you have a little bit more enlightenment about what it is. It's the prince of the air. It's the course of the world. It's the spirit that's working. That's an antichrist spirit. So we have to identify the fight. If we don't identify the fight, we beat the air. And if we beat the air, we're unprofitable and the devil wants us to beat the air. You ever see those bozo blow-up punching bags when we were kids? Just go beat that and it pops back up and beat it, pops back up, beat it, pops back up. It's like whack-a-mole. You know, some just keep, that's what the devil, go busy yourself. Go beat on that all day long. Go sign petitions, vote your politicians in, go for it. It's not a threat to me. Most of them are already the course of the world for me. I'm already working in them. Go for it. Put them in office. Great. You're helping me. Just don't look over here, church. Because this is where it's really at. So the Apostle Paul understands this situation that's going on with Peter. And Peter is already been exposed by God to the Gentiles and how they are clean because God makes them clean and fellowship with them is fine. And Peter's having fellowship with the Gentiles. And then these Jews come in. And when Peter sees these Jews, he's now scared. He's got this fear on him. The course of this world is affecting him, just like it affects me and you. And it's affecting Peter. Not only is it affecting Peter, it's affecting Barnabas. And Paul says, Barnabas of all people was swept away with this. It happens quick, happens easy. Happens to the most unbelievable people you would ever think. Peter says, even Barnabas. And so when these Jews walk in, who believed in Jesus and His death, but also believed you got to keep the law of Moses to be right with God. And Peter saw that. He was intimidated and afraid of them. He left the Gentiles and he went and sat with the Jews. Now, there's a conflict. It's not a Jew and Gentile problem. It's not a racist problem that Paul is dealing with. That's what the devil would have wanted him to fight. The devil would have wanted Paul to engage this whole atmosphere with the fact, hey, Gentiles are okay now. We Jews don't have to treat them this way anymore. And the devil would have loved Paul to engage that fight. But Paul knew better. He knew what he was fighting. He knew the right enemy to contend with. And it wasn't about bacon or lamb. And it wasn't about Gentiles and Jews. It was about grace and law. And Paul went to the heart of it and he delivered Peter from that bewitching. And he also delivered Barnabas from that bewitching. And he took this wonderful lover of God, Peter, and this wonderful apostle, Peter, and he delivered them from this momentary insanity that filled Peter's brain and this fear that caused him to behave in an ungodly way. There was not one moment in that where Paul is seen trying to convince the Jews that it's okay. He was going after Peter. What does that say to me? There's a problem going on in our country. And the devil wants you to see this. The devil wants you to hear this. The devil wants you to be focused upon that. And while you're focused upon that, the devil's fine with you doing that. But there's something greater at work here. And we have to identify it. And I'll tell you one of the greatest things before there can be a convincing or a help in the world. The church has got to deliver the church. The church has got to evangelize the church. There are Peters out there, there are Barnabases out there that have been swept away with this bewitching, and there is this fear in them, and there is this confusion in them, and the church has, like Paul did for Peter, the church has got to recover their sanity in the things of God. So that there's peace, and there's strength, and there's courage, and there's ability in the Holy Ghost. Because what the devil wants to do is, I'll divide the church, then I'll weaken it. And if the church is divided, it's not going to be any threat, but a united church, I won't be able to stand against that. And so the church has to do what Paul did for Peter. We have to love one another. We have to help one another. I hear it all the time. I feel it. You feel it. It goes in everybody. We have an opinion about the other group. And don't say that you don't. You have an opinion about the other group. There is something in you that is opinionated. There is something in you that is a little bit sarcastic with it. There's something in you that's a little bit unnatural in you about it. And though those things there, you got to crucify that, beloved. The church of Jesus Christ has got to be loved, and it's got to be unified, and it's got to be strengthened. And if we've got brothers and sisters that are having a hard time walking, we have to carry them. We have to help them. We have to go the extra mile. We've got to do everything we can possibly do so that nobody is left in that river of the world. We've got to do it. Patiently, gently, helping one another. So do you understand that? We've got to understand the conflict. You have to know what's going on. And I want you to understand that what you're watching on your TVs, with all of these events, let me say this. If there is a prince of the air who is very strategic, and he is working with the course of this world, and he has a spirit that is now working in the world, do you think for one moment the devil did not plan on riots and looting and burning cities in America? Do you think for one moment he did not plan on that? Do you think for one moment he did not know there would be a COVID situation and a pandemic that would sweep the earth, and he would be able to specifically try to paralyze the United States of America? And what is the value of the United States of America? Israel's protection to a certain degree. And Israel always has to be watched for prophecy and understanding what is going on in the world. Or we won't understand it. The Bible says in Job that when the sons of God came together, that the devil also went into the presence of God. And God engages the devil in a conversation. He says, if you consider Job, listen, God, the only way Job serves you is because you protected him. I can't get to him. If I could get to him, he'd curse you. God says, no, he won't. And the devil said, he will, but I can't get to him. Okay, get to him. And God gave the devil permission. And the devil was able to bring things against Job's life. And Job continued to praise God. That's an insight into events that happen in the spiritual realm. Okay? I can see this. There's an end of the world. There's an agenda of the prince of the air. The prince of the air wants to destroy Israel. The prince of the air wants to bring a mark of the beast upon every person. The prince of the air wants everyone to worship the Antichrist as God. And he wants to overthrow the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he's working valiantly for that. And I can just see in my spirit the prince of the air going into the presence of God. You know, God, you can't protect Israel. If it weren't for the United States of America, Israel would collapse and fall, and it would be annihilated. You don't have the power to do it. And maybe God's been patient and patient and patient. And maybe now God is saying to the prince of the air, okay, take America out. We're not found in prophecy. And maybe it's because of the rapture and so many Christians will leave. I don't know. We can only surmise those things. But maybe God's saying to the devil, okay, take America out. You say, I can't protect Israel. I'll show you that I'll protect her. And God has given prophecies that He will protect her. You have no idea. I've told you this so many times in our life together. You have no idea what you're going to leave church, get in your car, and hear on the news. You heard me say that. You heard me say that. You heard me say that. And one day it happened. Overnight. I'm telling you as a people, this is no game. There's a spiritual world in here. I'm in this world that's physical. I see this table. I see this pulpit. I've got this book I call my Bible. I see you. I can walk up to you. I can talk to you. I can touch you. I can feel you. I can hear you when you speak to me. But right now in this room, there are demons. And I might be walking right through some of them. There are angels in this room. There is a spiritual world all around us that is as real to that world as this is to me. And right now in that spiritual world, if you could see it, and man, I tell you, it's like, I think I've smelt it. I think I've heard it. I think I've been shaken by it. There are bombs going off. There are nuclear bombs, if you will, going off. There is combat going on right now in the principalities and powers that we can't see all around us throughout the United States of America. Now you might say, this preacher's nuts. Thank you. I will. I'm referring to Daniel chapter 10. You can read it later because I'd like you to listen to what I have to say. Daniel's given a vision about the Antichrist. He doesn't understand it. It troubles him greatly. He begins to pray for 21 days. He's fasting and praying for the understanding of this. While he's fasting and praying, Gabriel comes to Daniel. Gabriel sent by God, and he says to Daniel, oh, Daniel, beloved of the Lord, since the first day that you started to pray, God sent me with your answer. But on my way to you, I was detained by the prince of Persia. We're talking about spiritually. I was detained by the prince of Persia. I have been fighting him for 3 weeks. God sent Michael, the prince of Israel, to come and help me. When Michael arrived, it created an opportunity for me to get to you, Daniel. And now I am here to share with you what you saw and what God wants you to know. And Gabriel gave the answer to Daniel, and then Gabriel said to Daniel, now I must go and join Michael in the fight. Because Daniel lived in the Persian Empire at that time. It was the world power. And Gabriel said to Daniel, I must go back and join Michael because the king of Greece is coming. In the spirit, there was a spiritual war going on, a conflict. Gabriel and Michael were involved in the fighting. It was real, guys. It's not some mystical allegory. It was real. There was fighting in the spiritual world, like you find fighting in this physical world. And the king of Persia was not wanting to let go of his kingdom. But the kingdom of Greece was coming. And the kingdom of Greece was going to break through. And the kingdom of Greece will overthrow Persia. And the United States of America is facing the most fragile, catastrophic moment of its history. And most people are not even aware of it. Because right now in our world, what you're watching on TV is not really the significant thing. But the significant thing is, in the spirit world, there is a demon of Marxism that is attacking this capital, this republic A nation of laws and civility is being attacked by a Marxist spirit. And in the spirit, one of them is going to win. But Daniel did not have what we have. Daniel didn't have a church. Daniel didn't have the keys to heaven. Daniel did not have the promise, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But by God, the church has it. And if we go and fight what we see on TV, that's what the devil wants us to fight. But there needs to be prayer meetings in our churches day and night filled with intercessors who are warring against the spirit of Marxism before our country is overthrown. And what's so important about our country? Because if the United States falls, Israel is completely exposed. And God raises up nations to protect His people. And there'll come a day when Israel will stand alone, and only by the grace of God will it survive. But why does it have to be in our day? We can go before God with the authority of the Holy Ghost that He's put within the church. And we can rebuke the foul spirits that are trying to overthrow our land, the course of this world, the spirit that is now working. The church has authority over it. Why for one moment do you think God has to rapture the church before the tribulation? Because if the church is here, the Antichrist cannot do what he wants to do. We are the restrainer in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as long as we're here, we're the light of the world and we're the salt of the earth. As long as we're here. I'm going to tell you this. I am not ever going to be ashamed of George Washington. I am never going to be ashamed of Patrick Henry. I am never going to be ashamed of Madison and John Quincy Adams and John Hancock and Benjamin Franklin and William Bradford. I am not going to let the spirit of this age tell me what my history is. I know what my history is. I know what my fathers gave me. America has sinned. America has sinned with slavery. America has sinned with racism. America has sinned with classism. America has sinned with abortion. We cannot pretend things are not going on, y'all. In the last 6 years, we have watched our country legalize the right of a man to go into a little girl's bathroom. These movements that are going on in the world today, the top one, the one that you hear the most about, its founders are absolute Marxists. Go to their website. We're advocating the destruction of the nuclear family. We are advocating the support and the continuance and the building up of transgenderism and the homosexual activist. We are at the overthrow of the state and society. That's their platform. Go read it. Go look at it. I want you to know a little bit about your history. America has sinned. America has sinned with slavery. It has sinned with racism. To which we have asked God's forgiveness, and we continue to ask God's forgiveness. And a bloody civil war was fought over it. But I'm going to tell you something. This is your law of the land, and it's not racist. This is your Declaration of Independence by our fathers. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Though there are states and there are cities that did not abide by this, which is criminal and sinful, this is the foundation of this nation. Not what those states did. Not what slave owners did, which is despicable. But this is the law of our land. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected an indissoluble bond, the principles of civil government, with the principles of Christianity. Children, to us, you will never know how much it's cost us and my generation to preserve your freedom." George Washington, in his farewell address, which is considered the most important speech in the history of the United States, said this: "Do not let anyone claim to be a true American or claim the tribute of American patriotism if they ever attempt to remove religion from politics. If they do that, they can't be called true Americans." And he prayed over the 13 states this prayer: "I now make it my earnest prayer, O Father, that you would incline the hearts of the citizens to entertain a brotherly affection for one another, for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, and particularly for their brethren who have served in the field. And finally, that you would be most graciously pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our religion, Jesus Christ, and without a humble imitation of whose examples in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation." Of all of the 50 states, their constitutions all appeal to the Almighty God. Christopher Columbus, in his journal, it was found this that he wrote: "I'm not advocating he was a perfect man. I'm sure there are many horrible things in his life that he needed to be forgiven for, just as any of us. But this was in his journal: it was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand resting upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from his Holy Scriptures. I am a most unworthy sinner, but I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy, and they have covered me completely. I have found the sweetest consolation since I made it my whole purpose to enjoy his marvelous presence. The Almighty singled me out of all the men in this age for the honor of bearing the light of Christ to a new world. When they landed on the shores, they knelt with their eyes full of tears and bowed their heads and prayed, 'O Holy Savior, O Lord, Almighty and everlasting God, by thy holy word thou hast created the heaven and the earth and the sea. Blessed and glorified be your name, and praised be thy majesty, which hath deigned to use us, your humble servants, that your holy name may be proclaimed in this second part of the earth.' The separatists, who were religious, came here with the cherished hope and the inward zeal of at least playing a part, if only as a stepping stone for others, in the carrying forth of the light of Jesus Christ to the remote parts of the world. The Puritans, recorded in history by John Higgins in the 1700s, said this of the Puritans: 'It has been deservedly esteemed one of the great and wonderful works of God in the last age, that the Lord stirred up the spirits of so many thousands of his servants to transport themselves into a desert land in America, in the way of seeking first the kingdom of God, for the purpose of a fuller and better reformation of the church of God than it hath yet appeared in the world. The leaders of the Puritans, Winthrop believed, that their errand was not a mere scouting expedition. It was an essential maneuver in the drama of Christendom. The Bay Company was not a battered remnant of suffering separatists thrown up on a rocky shore. It was an organized force of Christians executing a flank attack on the corruptions of Christendom. These Puritans did not flee to America. They went by orders to work out that complete reformation that was not yet and could not be accomplished in Europe. The Mayflower Compact, in the name of God, we have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith to honor our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. And the Supreme Court, in a case of the Holy Trinity against the United States in 1892, made this ruling. Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind, Jesus Christ. It is impossible that it should be otherwise, and in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. This is a religious people. This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances. This is a Christian nation. So what is happening? What is happening with the burning of the cities? The destruction of history. If they can destroy our history and it doesn't matter to you, then they recognize there is nothing that you find of value in your past to protect. And if you think it is fine for the destruction of the history of the United States, I assure you, and even these groups that are fighting unknowingly for the spirit of this world, those very ones that are fighting far Marxism will be slaughtered by the millions by Marxism. Marxism has slaughtered in the 20th century over 100 million people in its overthrow of societies. And don't think for a moment it will not do that here. Everything you're seeing, everything you're watching, pandemics, epidemics, riots, looting, the destruction of everything, all of these calls, it is nothing more than Marxism is trying to overthrow a place that at one time in its history sent out missionaries all over this earth and defended the nation of Israel. There's been a lot of sin in our country. There's been a lot of sin in our leaders. There's been a lot of sin in a lot of people. And there's not everything that's perfect about it. But I can tell you the intent was to be Christian and to be godly. And though people have abused it, do you know that right now they are aborting babies at 5 to 6 months? Aborting them alive to harvest their organs and not give them any type of painkillers. Right now in America. Things have changed over the last 6 years. We never thought we would hear. We had a governor in Virginia tell us on national TV that if a baby is born and is surviving alone, the cord is cut, it's on the table, it's living by itself, then we will decide with the mother and the doctor if the baby will continue to live or the life will be taken. I'm sorry, that's murder. I don't understand that. I don't understand the conscience of this country. I don't understand where was the revolt of just human citizenry. Where was the revolt of just human morality? Forget Christianity. Where was the revolt of that, my friends? Wake up. Wake up. Do you understand that the success that Hitler had was his ability to stir up the young people in his country? Do you understand that what Hitler did was he saw all of the injustices in Germany and he pointed to the government as the cause of it? And he said they're all the reason for it. And he caused instigation among the young people. And he had the media begin to support the things that they were doing. And he created a problem that he was determined to solve. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was running through Germany. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. There is a demon-possessed man taking over our land. Wake up, church. And Germany and their churches said, oh, it'll never happen to us after the First World War. This will never happen again. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wake up, church. Wake up. And by the time the church woke up, the Gestapo was in the streets. And it was too late. It's not too late for us. But the fight is on. The fight is on. And we are invested with power. And you say to me, why'd you read 1 Corinthians 12 and Hebrews 10 about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together? I'll tell you why. I wonder how many Spirit-filled Christians are sitting in their homes today and we need their word of knowledge. And they can't give it over a computer. I wonder how many Christians are sitting at home today. And they can discern the spirits that we're dealing with and they're not here to help us. How many Spirit-filled Christians are sitting in their homes today with the gifts of miracles in their life and the gifts of healing in their life and words of wisdom in their life, and we're not hearing the benefit of that? Who would be testifying? Who would be proclaiming a word of God like Leah did this morning? Who would be proclaiming a word of God to the body of Christ at F&T, which is the exact thing we need to hear to do the work of God tomorrow, but it's been robbed from us because of what we see on TV and in the world. We're like nobody else. We're a form of life that has never existed until Pentecost. We're of a new race and a new breed of people. Amen. I know this is unique, but I appeal to you with all of my heart. Know the fight. Know the fight. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wanted to read this. Y'all, this is the day of miracles. I shared this with the Sunday school class. I've shared it with you before, and I'll continue to share it with you in just a couple of minutes. Jesus Christ came into this earth clothed with a human body. At the end of his life, he was able to say to the people, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you heard me speak, you heard the Father speak. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ was the perfect and full disclosure and expression of God in every way. The express image of God the Father was Jesus Christ in a human body. And the Holy Spirit's been given a body. We call it the church. And as Jesus Christ lived in this earth and came to the end of his life and said to the people, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I believe that what the Holy Spirit wants to be able to say when he's taken the church out, if you've seen the church, you've seen Jesus. The only problem is Jesus' human body gave him no trouble. Jesus said to his human body, let's walk on the water. Feet said, let's get it. And we walked on water. Mouth, speak to that demon possessed to come out. Let's do it. Speak to the winds and the waves. Tell them to be still. Oh, let's do it. Stretch your hand out. Let's do it. That human body did everything Jesus wanted it to do. But the church, we're a stubborn bunch. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. We resist the Holy Spirit. I want to use you. Oh, Lord, that's not my ministry. Will you speak this word? Will you give this tongue for me? Oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to do that. I can't do that. And the Holy Spirit came to give us great power to demonstrate with irrefutable evidence the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, please, beloved. We have a few seconds left before the end. Let's be the people he can use. Let's be the people he can live in. Let's be clothed with this power. Let's fight the right fight. And let's live in this. Reinhard Bonnke gave these comments. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read these to you. They're so beautiful. I love what he had put down here. Just listen to this. I read this to encourage you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only gun which brings a dead man back to life when it's shot. The Bible is the constitution of the kingdom of God. Democratic vote or consensus does not decide Bible truth. The gospel, when preached, happens. It is an event. The gospel is a lion. Turn it loose. The Word of God is solid rock. It's not a heap of pebbles, which is a collection of Christian opinions. The gospel is glad news. It's not mad news. The gospel is nothing less than a nation saver, a family saver, a life saver. There is no gospel without power. Christianity is either supernatural or it's nothing at all. Supernatural Jesus, supernatural gospel, supernatural Bible. You and I are the conductors of God's power to the world. The Holy Spirit and the gospel of the grace of God, His redeeming love, are inseparable. There is no non-miracle working Holy Spirit. He does not change His nature even when He lives in you. The Holy Spirit has no substitute. His church will never be defeated. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, it was an event that could not be undone. It was cosmic in its proportions. It created a new order of possibilities beyond all that had been known since the days of Adam. A new life form was created called the church. The Holy Spirit is the pneuma, the wind of heaven, blowing through our stuffy traditions. To ask the Holy Spirit to move is asking fire to be hot. He took the field long ago. He has never withdrawn from the battle and He never will. He isn't around sometimes for revival. He isn't around sometimes for healing. He's around all the time. It is up to us, not God. He doesn't have moods. To bring salvation, the Holy Spirit took residence in Christ the Lord. To preach salvation, the Holy Spirit takes residence in you. The disciples were never the same after the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They were filled with courage, healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. We do not generate Holy Spirit power by prayer, sweat, agony, time, effort, good works, or anything else. The Holy Spirit is a gift of the Father, not a reward for your labor, but the power for you to labor. He is not something we earn. He is someone given. He is the gift of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is not a trophy. He is the means by which you share the victory of Jesus. The power by which you run and the guarantee that you will never be alone. As for me, I'll cross that river. I'll walk with God. I've come too far. I've been stripped of so much. I don't know if there's another place for a knife in my back. So nothing has become dear to me but His kingdom. I will serve You with all of my heart and with all of my life, but I will not abandon His cause. And I will engage myself in the fight that is the fight. I will pray. And I will dwell with God. And I'll exercise the authority that He has given me. And I'll bring this gospel to the pain and the suffering and the hurt of the people who are on our streets, destroying our cities, and caught up in a river of the world and a spirit that is wrecking their life. And I will do everything I can to save every one of them. That's the battle. Who wants to join Him? Who wants the Spirit of God? You can't do this by yourself. It's not an agreement. When you sign up to become a Marine, you don't become one when you sign the paper. You're made into one. And it's not an acknowledgement that, God, I'll serve You. But He makes you a servant. He makes you a soldier. He makes you.